everybody. Welcome to Rotoscopers. And thank you so much. Today we have a very special interview with a composer, a lot of fun animated and other films. We're talking with Dominic Lewis today. And thank you so much, Dominic, for coming on and talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we like to do when we have interviewees is we like to find out a little bit about how you came to have your current job, and so what inspired you to become a composer and to get into your field?
Well, I've always been in music since I was a kid. Both my parents are musicians, so the goal was always to be a musician of some sort. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a rock star, I think, like most kids do. And then that kind of developed into, you know, songs of songwriting, and then bigger arrangements of songs. And then I actually was at school with Rupert Gregson Williams's stepdaughter, got introduced to Rupert. And at the sort of the same time, my dad started recording film scores. He's a cellist, so he started playing on a lot of film scores. So I kind of just started falling in love with film music. And it was just sort of a natural progression from sort of failing as a singer-songwriter wanting to write for bigger ensembles. And my love of film and my love of music together, this was the perfect job for me, I think.
Did you start out playing the cello? Is that your first instrument?
I did. I started cello when I was three.
Oh my god!
Because you know, I wanted to be just like dad. Dad was touring the world with the Medici String Quartet at the time, and yeah. So I think all young boys worship their father. So that's what I wanted to do, and then that kind of. I was actually about, I don't know, when I started writing stuff. I'm writing songs. My dad took me aside. He was like, "Listen, you don't want to be an instrumentalist. There's no money in this. You want to start writing music. That's where the money is." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Okay, sure, I can do that."
Cool. Well, because you can still play all you want.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Play whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So you've done compositions for animation and live action. Do you feel like there's any difference in your approach for each one, or just depends on the movie?
Maybe subconsciously there's a difference, but I try to approach animation the same way I would a live action. I think there's a tendency to think, you know, to sort of gear your music towards children when you're writing animation, and that's not something I like to fall into, and I have to check myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've got to be wary, especially when you're doing scary things or the more darker elements of the music. You have to be careful not to push it too far. But I think it starts getting dangerous when you're approaching it just in the eyes of, you know, for kids. I try to have the approach of you know, it's an animated movie, not a kids movie. So it's still, you know, it's the adults are watching it, and there are obviously themes within the movie that deserve a more mature approach. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously the styles are very different. And that's sort of where the approach differs, you know, whether you're going to lean on, more often than not, you're going to lean on the orchestra a little bit more in an animated movie than you would say in a live action these days, just because the push for live action tends to be, we want to be modern, we want to be fresh, we want to push the envelope, we want to be cool. I've just done The King's Man, which is, as having said that, it's just a fully orchestral score. There were moments during the scoring of that where, you know, Matthew Vaughan would turn to me and say, "It sounds like an animated film. What are you doing? You need to simplify it, make it more, you know, it needs to be more mature." So obviously I have that subconscious muscle in me that sort of, once the orchestra is engaged, I tend to be too floral with it. Because I think back in the day, back in the, you know, the 70s and the 80s, you could do that. And that it's sort of, we've progressed to where that music is now very fitting with animated movies. And mm-hmm. it tends to kind of, for want of a better phrase, make action movies and live action movies a little cheesy now when you have that approach. Mm-hmm. I really try to not kind of alter my my state of mind when doing animated movies, but I think it's more of a subconscious thing.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So you tend to be a little more traditional, would you say, with animated films versus being more edgy with live action?
I think so. I mean, it depends. I mean, with something like Peter Rabbit, I did try to kind of, you know, Will Gluck, the director, is a guy that in the past has not liked traditional score at all. And to the point where, you know, he makes a joke about it in Friends with Benefits, that, you know, film music is cheesy and it's pointless and manipulates the audience in a way that it's not good. So he's been a very needle drop guy. And then Peter Rabbit was an exploration for both of us. And I took a more song approach to that, but.
Yeah. I was going to ask, there's a comedic energy in the Peter Rabbit movies. And so how do you translate that into your score?
Yeah, I mean, with that one, I kind of started with the band. I wanted to get influences of famous kind of English rock pop bands, whether it be, you know, the Beatles or the Stones the Kinks, and build upon that. So, I mean, the driving force is very much the kind of the band behind it, with the drums and the bass and the guitars and the keyboards. And then on top of that, there's this very kind of quintessentially English pastoral orchestra that's kind of slammed on top of it, which gives it the kind of more epic scope. So that was the kind of approach for that one. With Fluffy Rabbits running around, you can't be too kind of cerebral and mature in the way that you approach the writing. So I'm very much governed by what I'm seeing and the emotions and what needs to happen. You know, if you've got rabbits running around throwing tomatoes at Mr. McGregor, you're not going for some kind of like very mature cerebral sound, you know, that sounds like very highbrow classical music. You need the element of fun needs to be there. Whereas if you've got, you know, Ralph Fiennes running around and with a sword and explosions and like lots of violence and blood and stuff, you're not going to be having harpsichord runs and lots of like floral orchestra. It needs to be grittier and more driving and more powerful. So I think it's very much of what the images and what the story arc is portraying.
That's interesting. So the deck with DuckTales, the show has such an iconic theme, the original show. So is that kind of challenging to build on top of that theme and then to also work it into moments of the score?
It's very daunting when you work on such a beloved property. And fortunately, I sort of came in when everything was, you know, everything was smelling of roses, and all the hard work had sort of been done by the wonderful producer, goes by the name of Smitty, who was mainly responsible for the updated and fresh version of the main title. Mm-hmm. And then when I got introduced to the project, they played it to me. I went for a meeting at Disney and they played it to me, and the chords in the bridge had changed. And I was like, whoa, wait, why have you changed the chords in the bridge? Like, just, and I sort of caught myself and went, whoa, this is not my place. Why am I saying this? But the words came out. I think because they saw such a passion for this real estate, they sort of brought me on as like a secondary producer to kind of do the string arrangements and make it more kind of cinematic and epic. So I did a sort of like orchestral arrangement to it, and I originally wanted to put the horn lines in from the original version, and I pushed and they were like, nah, there's too much of a foot still in the 80s version, we need to like not do the pop horn thing. So I just switched the instrumentation and changed it to violins doing that line. So yeah, I had rather an easy job on the actual the main title. I was, you know, I was sort of didn't do much, but probably got too much credit for what I did do. With the score, I very purposely didn't revisit the original, just because when I first had the meeting with Matt and Frank, Matt's the showrunner and Frank is the writer. They told me that they were trying to create the best version of DuckTales that you think you remember, because actually, when you go back and watch it, as you know, as a young kid watching it on Disney Afternoon or whatever it's called, you're just completely besotted with the story arcs and the characters, and you go back and watch it now and you go, it's good, but it's not as good as I remember.
That's so true.
So you know, that was and they did such a wonderful job of creating the show, the updated show, that is just, it's everything you think you remember and more. It's just wonderful. So not I'm saying that my score is that, I just wanted to sort of have that memory of Ron's score and then just go with what I do. And you know, they brought me on to do what I do. And so it sort of has one foot in the nostalgia and the swashbuckle and the sort of Amblin Lucas world of adventure films. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, bringing in more synthy elements and more sort of band elements and more of a hybrid than the original one.
How does the collaboration work? Did they send you the story cards and tell you this is what we need for this episode, or how does it all work?
Well, depending on what it is, if it's a song that I've been asked to write, I'll get a script probably like almost a season in advance. With the lyrics, sometimes with the lyrics, and sometimes like we need a song that sort of sounds a bit like this or is in this genre, and I'm, you know, either I'll write the lyrics or Frank has written them in the script. With scoring the episodes, I mean, I got pretty much finished a locked picture. So I was scoring to the episode, unless it was like a very specific scene that they wanted to cut to music. For example, the kind of the big rocket ship battle at the end of season two. They sent me an animatic of that somewhere in season one, when we were doing season one, and said, we want to use the moon theme. There's this big epic shootout battle in space. Can you do this kind of like very 80s adventure, John Williams-esque hybrid version of the moon theme? So I sort of wrote roughly to the animatic, and then they took that, and when they eventually had the finished animation, they cut to the music, which is always great to hear that. And I think it always benefits the show too, because you just get a natural progression. Mm-hmm. It just feels better. Yeah. But normally it's just like they send me the episode and it's, you know, go. And 2 weeks later it's like they review it, and fortunately we were just so locked in by mid-season one that very few notes came back, and it's just a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm.
So when you do songs, I guess, so you have a song called Just Not Good Enough that you actually sang in, is that correct?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what was that like? Did you record with Ben Schwartz when you sang it, or how did that
work? I never got to. I did meet Ben at the rap party and introduce myself, and he's like, oh, I love that song. I love doing that. It really, you know, pushed me outside my comfort zone. It's great. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, that's the frustrated singer songwriter producer in me that never made it big as a rock star. So whenever I get the chance, I like to sing on stuff. I mean, before I started earning money as a film composer, I was sort of doing the odd session work as a singer, and I actually did a bunch of stuff out when I was working with Hans as a writer, but he would always call me in if he needed vocals and stuff. So yeah, I like to flex that muscle now and again. Mm-hmm. So anytime there was a song on DuckTales, I'd do the scratch vocal, and fortunately for me, they often went with it, which was nice.
That's funny. So you mentioned Hans Zimmer there a second. So you collaborated with composers like him and John Powell and others. So what's that like when you are working with somebody and collaborating with someone like that?
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's been an insane journey from, you know, turning up as a very kind of green, fresh-faced young composer in, you know, 2010 or whatever it was, and sort of sitting in a room with Hans. I mean, I worked on Kung Fu Panda 2, so I was sitting in a room with Hans and John going, wait a minute, where, what, how did I get here? This is insane. I need to pinch myself. To being just a very awesome collaborative process where I'm, you know, basically making myself into a bigger sponge as possible and just learning as much as I can from these insanely talented genius film composers. So that's, yeah, I mean, the last few years of, you know, me being an additional composer, I just sort of took it upon myself to just learn as much as I possibly can and just absorb all this wonderful experience that I was getting that would help me, is helping me now as I, you know, I'm in the chair and I'm doing my own stuff. So I've been extremely lucky to be even in a room with those people, let alone actively collaborating with them. So it's been fantastic.
How long does it take you typically to write a score or an episode of a score for a movie or an episode of a show? What's that process usually, the time frame like?
Oh, it varies massively. I mean, I did a show called The Player with Wesley Snipes that was a network show, and that was a 5-day turnaround for a 40-minute show. And then, so DuckTales is 2 weeks. Sorry, I now have to say was, because it's finished and it's very sad. DuckTales was a 2-week turnaround. And then, you know, I spent, God, how long was it? It was like 20, I want to say like 20 months on The King's Man. Oh, I mean, wow. It was a long time because I got brought in so early. That was a co-write with Matt Margeson. And I moved to London. I was on set. I had a rig like next to set, so Matthew Vaughan could come in and, you know, listen to stuff and then go off to set and have some ideas and come back. So I was on super early. So yeah, it ranges. I mean, normally with movies, it's a sort of 2 to 3 months period. But recently, I mean, especially with COVID, it's been long. I mean, mm-hmm. I just finished a movie mm-hmm. called Jolt that was, I want to say that was 10 months of work.
Wow.
It's been nuts. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Do you ever have blocks where you just can't find the right song, right music for?
Yeah, fortunately, they don't last too long.
That's good.
And it's an excuse to sort of get up and procrastinate. I'm a big procrastinator as it is. I find my workflow is very much like go at it whilst I'm in the flow. And if it's not working, I tend to step away. And it took me a long time to get to that place. I mean, when I was working for Hands at Remote and Henry, it would be like, I would just sit there and just sort of bang my head against the keyboard and just wait for something to happen, and, you know, up until 3-4 in the morning. But now, you know, it helps being a husband and a dad that you just have to go, okay, well, this isn't working. So I'm going to go do something that's worth my time and spend some time with my children. And then hopefully if the inspiration comes back to me, I can always come back to the studio and do something. But yeah, it's been really good to know when it's just not working and just to, you know, pen down and go home and rest. And then more often than not, next morning I'll come in and just like burn through a queue in a couple of hours. So it took a while to get to that place, but it's good to kind of listen to your mind and let it rest sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this has been very, very interesting. Thank you so much for talking with us. And do you have any social media or website or anything like that you want to share?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I try and do all that stuff.
We'll have all of that.
It's Dom Lewis Music on Instagram, I think, is my handle.
Okay, great. Well, we'll have that down if people can follow you. And thanks again for coming to talk with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.